Basic Bananas.
Hi, and welcome back to Basic Bananas Radio. Today, I've got a special guest and a very dear friend coming all the way from Gibraltar. Anita Chaperon.
Yeah. Oh, do you mind clapping?
Thanks for joining us. Because I would call it Gibraltar, but how do you say your place in English, Gibraltar?
Oh, it was Gibraltar.
So, Gibraltar, yeah. There we go. Which is at the bottom of Spain, for anyone listening who is not very good at geographics. Anita is a fellow Euro, and she's originally not from Gibraltar. Do you want to quickly tell our audience a little bit about where you come from and how you ended up doing what you're doing right now?
Yes, well, yeah, like you said, I'm not originally from Gibraltar. Your version sounds so much more exotic.
Gibraltar.
Yeah. I'm originally from Bulgaria, actually, but and I won't give you the full story because it's this. We won't have enough time for that.
Really?
But I like traveling, and my husband and I have been to quite a few countries. The one overriding thing, though, is that we've always, well, for as long as I can remember, we've been in business for ourselves. So we've been through all the pros and cons of owning your own business. And I've always been, I've been a bit of a multi-passionate person. So literally marketing, business building, etc. But the one overriding topic has always been health and fitness for me. So I've been, for the past 17 years or so, I've been building the life and the health that I do want. And I've been doing it incrementally with small changes, over time. And along the way, I've stumbled, fell, experienced, a nervous breakdown, etc. I had to dig myself out of that one as well. But it's all been a lot of fun because it's allowed me to learn a lot and to experiment with a lot of techniques and things. So where I am at the moment through this entire journey is I'm wanting to empower business professionals to create the health that they want so they can do better business, because let's face it, none of us are going to leave our business. We love that job and that's why we're in it. But if we could do a better job of it through better health, then, it's kind of like killing two birds with one stone. So it's everyone's happy.
Yeah, I agree. And you're certainly walking the talk as well. You are applying all the techniques that you talk about as well in terms of health and wellness and business also. And I think it's a really important message to give to our listeners, because I'm sure most of our listeners would have something that they want to improve or a new habit that they want to adopt. So I think, one of the reasons that I wanted you to share your knowledge with our audience is because you told me about how you figured out a framework to basically adopt a new habit, a new healthy habit for better focus and clarity. And so I wanted you to just, share with us a little bit about that and maybe some examples. And I also know at the end you will give us your framework as in a bit of a worksheet. So maybe we can share that at the end with our listeners as well.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. First of all, what I would like to start with is I don't think a lot of people would be thinking in terms of habits and creating habits. Most of us, when we think of the topic of health, we think of it as a mammoth, huge topic, right? And that's actually the primary reason why most of us don't take any action to improve our health, because, where do you start? Who do you listen to? There's so much information out there. And also a lot of people view it as, an all or nothing game. You think that if you're going to start becoming healthy, you've got to be healthy, overnight. Tomorrow morning you've got to wake up and then you've got to eat right. You've got to exercise every day. You've got to, take vitamins and breathe deeply and do yoga and meditation and all that. And the reason why I started thinking of habits is because, well, that's kind of how I've built my health. I used to call them experiments, but habits are this wonderful thing that our brain has given us, and it's a way of letting go of a task and putting it on autopilot and just literally, you repeat it initially to make it into a habit, but once it becomes a habit, you hand it over to your subconscious and it just handles everything. So you don't actually have to think about it. So the beauty of that is obviously that, you know, you don't have to use your willpower or you know, to make these decisions throughout the day. You can now be free to do your business, but still be happy and you know, a lot healthier.
So what you mean is like those habits that we you know, once you're a habit, it's like brushing your teeth or driving a car. But, you know, when you start learning to drive a car, it's all a little bit harder and you have to consciously think about everything. But then once it becomes a habit, you just do it almost automatically.
Oh, exactly. So that's a very good example. So once you know, in the beginning, I think most of us would remember that our parents used to have to remind us to brush our teeth twice a day. Mm-hmm. And obviously it was difficult. And I know firsthand that I always used to say no. But
you grubby girl.
and eventually it becomes automatic. And now if you don't brush your teeth in the morning, you feel horrible. You know, you can't even walk out of the house because you feel you can't even talk to people, even though most people won't even notice if your breath smells. But so it's exactly like that. So creating so just to get back into the whole framework, I figured out that, you know, as a business person, you already do your business, you're already good at doing that, and if you can create these small habits, but using business methodologies that you already employ in your business, then it will make things a lot easier. And I've created this 5-step framework that within, you know, 5 to 7 days of exercising, of doing this, literally it takes you between 2 and 5 minutes a day of commitment. And you can actually start creating those healthy habits. And the whole idea is that you create them one little habit at a time. I call them nano habits because they're so tiny. You've got the whole point is of making them so tiny that it almost feels silly not to want to do it. Mm. And even though they might, you know, a lot of people, especially type A business professionals, they have a problem with making these challenges so small. You know, they think that if they're so small, then how could it possibly make an impact on your health? Something like, for example, just filling up your water bottle in the morning. That could be your one habit. And you think, no way, this is going to make me healthier, right? But the point is that if you fill the water bottle and it's there in front of you by your computer, right, you are very, very highly likely to at least get through half of it. And then, you know, in the next 2 days, you might drink the entire thing. And before you know it, you're drinking this bottle of water that you never used to drink before. You've got, and we all know the benefits of water, but you've got better focus, your body is now feeling better, your skin starts to look better because you're better hydrated, you eat less rubbish because you're now a bit fuller because you've got to take in all this liquid, etc., etc. So it's got all these knock-on effects that, you know, that enhance your health from all the angles. And all you've had to do is remember to fill up your bottle in the morning.
Yeah, I love how simple you make it. So should we step through the 5 steps to form a healthy habit?
Yes. So very quickly, I'm going to try and be as brief as possible. And like you mentioned, you know, you're going to give out the little worksheet at the end anyway. So don't bother writing down anything because it's all written into the sheet, and you can go through it, you know, at your own pace afterwards. So very quickly, the 5 steps are, and remember, this whole process is just to prove to yourself how easy and you know, and simple it is to start forming healthy habits. So you don't have to put it off until, you know, it's too late, and then it's a big job. Okay, so here are the 5 steps. The first step is obviously to decide what your new behavior is going to be. And the easiest way to remember to do a new behavior is if you actually peg it onto an existing behavior that you already do. So if, you know, talking about brushing your teeth, you already do that every single day. You know, it's very seldom, at least for myself, I never forget to brush my teeth. So if you think of that as a trigger, use an existing habit as a trigger and then peg your new behavior onto that trigger. Mm-hmm. So, for example, let's say you want to, and I'll give you 3 healthy habits, by the way, to choose from. So pick just one of them. Love and it. Then stick with it for the week with the worksheet. So if you choose, for example, just filling up your water bottle, The one habit that you can peg it to is if you drink coffee in the morning, for example, for me, as soon as I'm finished drinking my coffee in the morning, that's my trigger to go and fill up my bottle of water for the day. So that works for me. For you, it might be after you finish brushing your teeth, or it might be when you sit at your computer and you type in your password, then that's your trigger for going and filling up your bottle of water. So that's the one thing. So the first thing is choose your new behavior, and then choose your trigger, choose the anchor behavior that that the new behavior is going to follow. And again, I'd give you a little bit more clear explanation in the sheet, so don't worry if you don't get the thing right away. The third step to follow is to decide how you're going to celebrate each time you do this. And I know, especially business owners, you know, we tend to be very serious. And you say to them, oh, you've got to celebrate the fact that you've done your little habit every time you do it. And if you are, oh, no, but I'm a bit silly, you know, how am I going to celebrate? That's such a, you know, woo-woo rubbish stuff. But I'm actually one of those skeptics. But the point of the celebration is that it actually adds emotion to the new habit. And without an emotion, if a behavior has no emotion attached to it, especially a positive emotion, it does not become a habit. That's the one prerequisite that has to be there. So you artificially engineer that happy emotion, attach it to that new behavior so that you can, you know, eventually create a habit out of it.
I couldn't agree more. You know, like the whole celebrating thing, and even though some people do think, including you maybe, oh, a bit woo-woo or whatever, I'm such a big believer in it. Not just when it comes to creating habits, but also anything in business and in life.
Yeah.
When you celebrate achievements, small and big, you actually attract more. And there is countless research and there are countless studies on that stuff. So I'm glad that you bring that up here as well.
Yeah, I mean, and it makes such perfect sense. If you feel good about doing something, why wouldn't you want to do it again and again?
Yeah, love it.
So with me, I've got a technique that I call a bottling up of emotion, and it's not the negative connotation of it, but it's, for example, you know, every time you go for a workout and you complete that exercise routine, you might feel completely finished at the end of it, but bother to stop for 2 seconds and just, you know, feel the glow of, oh, I've achieved this. You know, I came out of the back of that one and I didn't die type of thing, right? And it helps because next time you need to go for a workout and you kind of contemplating, you know, I shouldn't go or should go, you just have to recall that really, really awesome feeling at the end of the workout and you're already out the door and, you know, doing it. Or at least I am. I don't know about many
people. What's another example of like how you could celebrate? So if we chose the water bottle example, how could somebody celebrate? You know, so step number one is decide on the new behavior. Step number two is choose your trigger, and step number three is celebrate. So how could you celebrate that? What would be some ideas?
That's a great question. The main point actually is that whatever you choose feels right by you. Don't choose somebody else's celebration, for example, if it doesn't feel natural to you, because otherwise you're not going to stick with it. And the way to decide what's natural to you, if it doesn't come out right, you know, in your mind, is, for example, to feel, you know, think back to a really big achievement in your life. How did you feel then? You know, was it, you know, just a feeling of absolute elation, or was it, you know, did you jump up and down? Did you do a little dance? Did you, you know, throw your fist in the air and go, yeah, I'm unstoppable, or whatever it is for you, you know. Nothing is stupid. It just has to feel really natural, and it has to make you feel good. The other way to come up with a celebration is to think to, you know, if you, for example, if you play golf or any other sport, for me it's golf, for example. If I ever scored...
<I'm kidding. laughs> I always teach people, I say, golf is not a sport, is it? I'm kidding.
It is. It's a mental sport more than anything else.
No, you love it.
But I'll have a conversation about that.
Exactly.
But for example, you know, whatever sport it is, just think of, and I'm giving golf as an example because it's kind of an easy one to think of. But if I ever scored hole in one, what would I, you know, what would I be like in celebrating? What would be my reaction? And then draw on that feeling and create your own celebration, you know, from it. Whatever feels appropriate.
So the celebration could be just feeling a feeling. So just trying on a feeling, or it could be a star jump, or it could be a fist pump, or it could be eating a chocolate, which is probably not the best way to celebrate if you're trying to create a healthy habit.
Yeah. Don't sabotage the good thing you've just done by, you know, with your celebration. That's kind of another key point.
Makes sense.
But yeah, it could be any of the above or all of the above. I used to do a little dance routine that there used to be a kind of a series, a comedy series, Perfect Strangers. And the main characters there used to celebrate by doing the dance of happiness. So, you know, I'll do that.
I want to see that. Next time I see you, you can show me that dance of happiness.
Oh, well, you'll regret it. But anyway.
I'll film it and then I'll add it to the podcast later on.
Yeah. So whatever makes sense to you.
Yeah, totally makes sense. And then what's step number four?
Okay, so step number four is to actually prepare. And this is another critical step, and a lot of people miss that out. So if we keep on with the example of drinking the bottle of water, the preparation isn't anything complex, but it is things like something as common as, you know, making sure you have a bottle to fill up. Because if you don't, then you've got to put off the habit until tomorrow or until later when you get the bottle, and that just wastes a day. So, you know, it doesn't have to be any special bottle, but if you're going to be, for example, if your goal is to drink a litre and a half a day, it helps if the bottle is a litre and a half, so you just have to fill it up once and then you don't have to worry about it, you know, until the next day.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you're going to be working out regularly and that's your goal, then make sure that you've got a set of clothes ready for you to wear for your workout. You know, so instead of having to go looking for them and then go out.
Perfect.
Yeah. And then step five. Step five is the most important step, and that's actually to do your nano habits. Once you decide for them, because you've created a habit, you've scheduled it by anchoring it to an existing habit, you have then you know, decided on how you're going to celebrate to anchor that emotion into the new behavior, then you prepare so that you don't have to delay the behavior, and then finally you just go out and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty of it is because it's so easy to do. And because you're now celebrating, it becomes a little bit of a game, you know, and especially for type A personalities like business owners usually are, every time you succeed, you want to do another one so you can succeed again.
I love it. I love it. So let's quickly recap on the five steps. First, we decide on the behavior. Then we choose a trigger so we can, or an existing behavior to tag the new behavior onto. Then we find a way to celebrate, then we prepare, and then we just do it. Now, I know some listeners might be wondering, oh, what sort of new healthy habits could I form? Should we give them a couple of examples?
Yes, well, actually, I came up with three examples, and in the sheet that you're going to share out later, all I'm going to ask you is to choose one.
Mm-hmm.
You can do all three of them if you want to, and that's fine because it means that at least one of them will push through. But if you just wanted to prove to yourself that this stuff works, then choose one of the three. And the three that I could think of that would apply directly to increasing focus and making you, you know, a lot more alert, have a lot more energy at work, are, again, I've mentioned the 1.5 liter bottle a day of water.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, and I've written these statements out for you in the worksheet, but you would say something like, after I open up my computer at work in the morning, I will fill up my 1.5 liter bottles of water with the intention of drinking it that day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The other one would be, the other very useful habit to do is to take regular breaks at work. And it might not seem like a lot, and it's not technically directly related to health, but if you take if you disconnect completely from work, what it allows you to do is it allows you to clear your head, and then therefore you're more focused. And it also allows to lower stress. So I would suggest that you choose, every hour. So the triggers over here can vary a lot depending on what you do regularly in a day. But let's say every time you open your email to check an email, take 5 deep breaths, for example.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or every hour.
Some people will be like breathing all day because they can't not open their emails all day.
Oh, that's great. It's, then you get plenty of oxygen.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, though. I love taking proper breaks a habit, because it's so important. I've shown you, I think, at Basic Bananas, I told you about how we have a trampoline and hula hoops and things.
Because oh, brilliant, yeah.
Usually every 45 minutes, we can and probably should be getting up and just, I do it myself a lot. I just quickly get up, usually 45 minutes of focus, get up, quickly do a hula hoop, sing with a bit of music, and then I'm back.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. And it's, the rebound at the trampoline is so good for your health. It's incredible. So awesome.
Oh, that's good to know. And what will be the third habit?
So the third habit would be, it will also be related around focus, replenishment, and that would be to, to go and read a book that's not related to work, for example. And again, these sound a little bit similar, but one would work for one type of person and another one won't. So that's why I've given you the two choices, with the emphasis on that break that you need from work.
That's really because, cool.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, that's really cool. What do you think about, there's a whole theory about it takes 21 days to form a new habit. What's your thoughts on that?
That's a brilliant question, and one that might encourage me to talk for a bit longer than we have. But basically, it's a myth. That's the simplest answer to it. But it was created by a scientist that intended well, and he wanted to publish really important results of a research study that he did into habit formation. The only problem with that was that he only studied like one group of people that were actually trying to change a bad behavior already, not create a new habit. And he found that on average, that's how long it took for those people to start implementing the new behavior as an override to the old behavior. Basically, it takes as long as it needs to take to create a habit. It will depend on what habit you're trying to implement. It will depend on what kind of personality you are. And it would also depend on, how serious about it you are. What is the reason why you want to create or change that habit. So, if you're trying to do something simple like drink more water in a day, it might take you 10 days and it will become automatic. But if you're trying to stop smoking, for example, that's a totally different story, and it might take you a lifetime.
Interesting. So, yeah, interesting. And, I have thought about the 21 days because even though it is, it depends on the person and on the habit, I actually choose to just play with it anyway, so because it's motivating. So whenever I want to change a habit, just recently I think I told you, maybe usually when I get home from Basic Bananas, I just chuck my handbag on the floor, my jacket somewhere else, and I just make a little bit of a mess, and I will try to break that habit because I think it's nicer to not make a mess within the first 3 minutes of coming home. And so what I chose to do actually with Christo too is we said, let's try for 21 days to not do it, and to so we can build a new habit, and it's kind of working, but I think I need more than 21 days.
Well, that's the beauty of the framework that I'm proposing to you, because you start with such a small thing. So for example, with your example, you would just basically try and put one thing away. So you would put your handbag where you're always supposed to put it, and that would be it. And it has a ripple effect. It's got a knock-on effect where you would put one thing away, and then the next time, or maybe the next 3 days, you come back and you put two things away.
Yeah.
And then you start liking the feeling of non-clutter, so you put more things away. And then, but you always have that tiny thing to default to, so you never really feel bad about not doing the big thing.
Yeah,
if you know
I'm
what
definitely
I mean.
Going to apply your framework for that.
But the thing is, a habit is only a habit when it happens on autopilot. It's otherwise, it's just a mechanical behavior that you do on cue, and you still have to employ conscious thought. And the point is that you still use your willpower. You know, you still deplete that resource because it's not an autopilot.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to apply it just for things like that too. Now, I've got another quick question. You know, there's so much information out there about stuff, and often it's conflicting. You know, for example, even the how much water should I drink? And then some people say you have to drink at least 2 liters. Some people say 3 liters. Some people say depends on your body type and how much exercise and how much muscle. So how do listeners... who should I listen to? Because there's so much stuff out there.
Are you asking specifically about the water?
Yeah,
and by the way,
the water, and then just about. In general, when it comes to healthy habits and healthy living, there's always a lot of opinions. So how do we know, where do we start in even knowing what, you know, some people say you have to drink green smoothies. Some people say you have to choose your stuff. Some people say, no, you have to blended, and it's like it's very confusing for someone who doesn't spend a lot of time researching it.
And yeah, you're absolutely right. I've got 2 points about that. One is you have to learn to own whatever information you decide to adopt as a lifestyle, right? And by that I mean you have to bother to do your homework on it, and I know it sounds a little bit, you know, long-winded, but at least bother to research from 2 or 3 different sources, right? So on the green smoothies thing, go to 2 or 3 different sources and, you know, do search on Google and see what people say about it. And then try it. So the second point is then try it on yourself and listen to your body, because, you know, veggies and fruit are great for, you know, for most people, but they're not great for all people. You know, my mother, for example, can't eat any raw vegetables. She has to cook all of them because her stomach does not accept them. That's just the way life is. So you have to, whatever you decide to try, whether it's drinking water, whether it's, you know, drinking smoothies, eating fruit, eating veggies, not eating carbs, etc., whatever it is, you need to make sure that when you try it, you know, run that tiny, the little habit experiment. You know, try and implement it into your lifestyle. And if it doesn't work, if it doesn't agree with you, have the, you know, so the kahunas to say no to it. You know, make sure you give it a fair try, of course.
I love it. But, I love, yeah. I love how you say, you know, go and see what people are saying, but then most importantly, listen to your body, because not everyone needs the same things. Because I always laugh. Yeah. People always say about, you know, bread being bad for you and all this sort of stuff. And I grew up on bread and I'm pretty healthy and I still eat bread now and I think my body loves it. So it's, you know, even when I get sick or, you know, I'm overseas and maybe I have a bit of a belly sickness, I just have to go and eat bread. Basically, I need gluten. So, and maybe it's in my head, but it's like there's so many theories about things. But if you just listen to your own body, I think that's how you figure a lot of things out.
It's, I mean, it's like with your business, and this is what gets me about health, you know, when you start talking to health, to people about health, it gets me that people bother to educate themselves about how to do business, but they don't bother to educate themselves about how to, you know, eat properly in terms of listening to what agrees with them and what doesn't. So, yeah, it's literally is trial and error, because there isn't one solution out there that fits everybody. And then also, we don't know everything about nutrition and health. We don't. We still, I mean, the latest thing now is that you need to eat more saturated fat. I mean, how is that for a, you know, a curveball? Mm-hmm. Up till now, everybody's been telling us, no, stay away from saturated fats. You're going to clog your arteries. It increases bad cholesterol, etc. Now the thing is, you actually live longer and better if you eat fat, and there's research studies that show it. But, you know, it's like, we didn't know that 50 years ago.
There's so much stuff. Like, I always make fun of this stuff, because right now it's the kale, you know, the kale, years of kale. Everyone eats kale, including myself. I have my kale smoothies and stuff. But I always joke about it. I said, you watch, suddenly in a few months, kale is really bad for you. It's got really bad stuff in it for you. And then it's going to be something else. But you know what? As long as it works for you, as you say, I love your philosophy about it, then it's okay. Now, where can people grab the worksheet? Because I really want to make sure that they can go and get it if they want to do the, if they want to adopt the framework, which I think they should.
Well, you can grab it at my site. But what I will do is I'll actually send you the link, because it's not going to be a simple link. So just to make sure you can put it underneath.
Perfect.
Podcast, yeah.
So yeah, let's do that. And we'll send me the link and we'll put it in the show notes. And what's your website? Is it anitachaperon.com?
Well, that's if you want to know who I am and want to see a nice pretty picture of me. But the better place to go to is habithacker.club.
Habithacker.club. Awesome.
Yeah.
Perfect. And then you send me the link to the worksheet and we'll put it with the episode. And just to close off this episode, I always finish with the question, what's one of the funniest or weirdest or quirkiest things that has ever happened to you in business or also in life?
Whoa.
I got you,
the
didn't
funniest.
I? I'll let you think for a sec. What's the first thing that comes up? Something weird, maybe something weird happened or something funny.
Something weird and funny always happens to me. I just, you know, you probably kind of have experienced a similar thing, but I've always struggled with the language because I've had to learn it, you know, at the ripe age of 15 when you know, all you worry about is impressing boys. So the funniest thing, I suppose, well, it's not really funny, but the one thing that sticks up in my mind is we had just moved over from Bulgaria to South Africa, and I could speak no English, literally. I was too embarrassed. I knew how to say good morning or hello, but I was too embarrassed to open my mouth. Literally, I just wished the ground would open up and it would swallow me. Of course, my mother decided very wisely to enroll me into an only English school.
Excellent. Did you not learn English at home? There was no English.
No, nothing. Literally, it's like, so I remember, first of all, looking at my mother going, are you kidding me? How am I ever going to do this? You just wish that I was dead, didn't you? You know, you just want to kill me.
Well, I'm sure there weren't any Bulgarian schools in South Africa.
No, nobody even knew what Bulgaria was.
So where should she have sent you?
Well, so basically what happened is she says, no, you're going there. That's the quickest way to learn. And next thing I remember is my first day in class, and of course, children are very curious at that. I mean, I suppose they're not children at that age, but at the age of 15, I'm sitting at my desk in the first lesson in my class, and a million boys around me, and all they want to teach me is all the swear words in the English language.
Of course.
So that was, it's human nature, I think, I suppose.
That's
wanting
excellent.
To talk these words.
Also, that's a great story. Thank you so much for sharing, and also thank you for sharing your framework. I know it will help a lot of our listeners who will apply it. I'm going to apply to some of the habits that I want to adopt, including the one about
awesome.
Leaving my handbag everywhere in my jacket, and I can't wait to report back to you.
Yeah, I'd love to hear about it. And talking about reporting back, if you know, if any of you people's on the call, review the three suggested habits, and you're already doing all three of them, first of all, high five virtually, and then second of all, please feel free to email me and ask me for more suggestions. I would be more than happy to help.
Do you want to give your email address?
Just contact me through the contact form on the link that I'm going to send you with the worksheet.
Excellent.
That's the easiest way.
You don't want to give them your phone number? I'm kidding. All right.
My phone? Yeah.
All right.
It doesn't usually work.
For your wisdom, and we'll chat soon.
Okay, thank you very much for your time as well. Bye
bye, thank you.
Basic bananas.